The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
I wish that we could get all of chapter 9 in one sitting, but we got more than three verses. And this is a continual of the setup of chapter 8. Now, I don't want you to do what you did with chapter 8 with chapter 9. Because if I went around and took a test, just a little survey, how has the end of chapter 8 changed your life since last week? Most of you couldn't even remember what we talked about. And I know that even fewer than that would have implemented in their lives the things that we talked about. That if someone does not want the truth, they're not going to say that they may be wrong. What they're going to do is they're going to attack you. And Jesus and the leadership, got down to the part of calling names. Amen? Because they did not want to accept the truth, who they was looking right at. Perfect truth in front of them. So you can imagine if you confront someone about truth, what's going to take place. And because of that, Jesus is amazing. How he leads out of one hostile group and walks into another group to totally destroy their thinking. Now, we're going to read verse 59 of chapter 8 after we pray. Because I want you to leave here today making some decisions about what kind of God you serve. Did you hear me? Because you and I got to come to the conclusion that the God we serve may not be the God of the scriptures. And if it is not the God of the scriptures, can you respond correctly with a false image of the God you serve? Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for the opportunity we have to open your word. Lord, I pray right now that you will open the hearts and minds of those of us that are here, that you may say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you convict us. Because, Lord, today's truth is really worth pondering. All scripture is, Lord. But we happen to be in John 9 today. May we leave here with an understanding of where am I wrong, where am I right, and how I'm going to stick to what is right. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say. Amen, God. Sam, you ain't got it yet, huh? Keep throwing those amens at me. Sam's just trying to keep me on my toes there. Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Question. Are they a little mad? Are they truly spiritually ticked off? Do you think they want to throw one or two rocks at him and let him know, there, take that? Or do you think that they are mad enough to kill him? You know, you will participate today. I'm not going to preach at you like I usually do. We're going to talk together today. That's how important this sermon is. Do you think that they were just a little upset at him and they want to hit him a couple of times just to let him know that they are disappointed in what he has said to them, what the truth is? Do they want to kill him? Yes. We are in agreement that they are so mad about hearing the truth that they want to kill him. Look at the rest of this. He says, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, Jesus, if I would have wrote this, I would have wrote it something like this. They picked up stones to kill him. And the God from heaven, who has all angels under his command, called out for 175,000, came down and whooped up on everybody in the crowd. Can we have that version one Sunday? Folks, Jesus is God. He has all of heaven and a host of angels behind him, and he sneaks out. Somebody tell me, does that mean Christians ought to have common sense? Because that's some Christians just go off with this trust stuff. Can I have an amen? Oh, I just trust God. I am not going to lock my doors. Now, I know some of you want to leave your doors open with the hoodie you got. You want to drive downtown cell somewhere, leave the doors unlocked and the keys in the niche and hoping someone steal it. But I'm not talking like that. We ain't never talking about the hoopie. I'm talking about Christians not having enough common sense to know when you can trust God and what you know is true to be safe. When you leave your car, you should lock your. When you leave your home, you should lock your. And if you live in my neighborhood, when you're home, you should. Thank you very much. Common sense. Jesus, of all power, could call down and have them quit breathing in one thought. Didn't even have to say it. So these people are trying to kill me. So I'm going to sneak out on. I don't know. Did he blind them? I don't know if he blinded them. Come on. I don't know if he just got in the crowd because most of the crowd probably don't even know what it looks like. They've only heard about Jesus more than they know the sight of him. He kind of just smoothed. You can just see Jesus. You know, he just probably moonwalked. Right out the crowd, you know what I'm saying? But this is what gets me. Now, if verse 59 and verse 1 of chapter 9 is simultaneous, watch how God works. But Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so he passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. So he stopped to have a conversation about it. Is that our God? He's going to move to protect himself from not being killed, but will not pass by an opportunity to teach the truth about what God is like. You guys not. I can see right now you're not excited about what I'm talking about. Didn't think he was worth calling down heaven to protect him, but was stopping in the midst of the crowd and sneaking through to talk about what God is like. Is that Jesus, man? That's common sense in Jesus. Right there, man. I mean, that you cannot beat that. I love this. And here it is. And his disciples ask him. Now, I got a question for you. How did they know he was born blind? Oh, he's because Jesus is God. Don't make it tough. Can I have an amen? This guy's not unknown. But he was born blind. Check this out. Here come his disciples. Now, you got to understand, the man is not that far away. They're going to have a theological discussion about his blindness right in front of him. Hey, Jesus, this blind man right here, yeah, the one was born blind. Did he sin or did his parents sin that he was born blind? Now, if you're the blind man, you know you got to keep quiet. You know how he make a living? He begs. Begs. Now, if he's going to beg, he can't be all smart mouth. What? That didn't sound like that was a lot. Come back over here and put some more in here. He had to keep quiet. And do you think this guy, because he's got to be over 30 because he's on his own. Do you think in all those years of keeping quiet that this guy got some answers? I mean, really, how many times have you been talking to somebody and after they left, you thought, man, I wish I could have thought of that when they was here. Am I the only one? And you go, man, I can't wait till next time. And then God never give you a next time. Because he know you're going to be speaking for pride. Can I have an amen? This guy's got so many answers, but he got to keep quiet. He's sitting there blind. And here's these guys that are sitting there having a theological debate about him and going asking that, hey, now we know he's born blind, so did he sin before he was born? Or did his parents sin? And man, my mom was in the first service and I stopped. And I said, man, as sick as I am right now, I got to ask my mom a question. What did you do before I was born? Girl, you better confess. So I got to pay for it when I get home, but that's okay. Now, this is the thing that chapter 9 is going to bring out for us. Number one, we're going to have to look at what kind of God do we serve? All the way through, what kind of God do we serve? Second thing it's going to bring out is, what type of relationship do you have to go through with Jesus in order to really know him and trust him? Can't hear you. And it better be the correct way. Because if you have a false image of God, comes the third thing. Can you respond correctly to the God who's trying to teach you something if you got a false image of him? Wow. Is this a good chapter? It's just full of meat. Now the question is, are we going to go away chewing? And are we going to go away answering the questions that we're going to have come up here? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parent. Remember in Luke chapter 1, 2, and 3, Elizabeth and Zacharias, the mother and father John the Baptist. And the worst sin in Jewish life was a woman not giving her husband a son. Can't hear you. And they was well stricken in years. Zacharias was smart enough to call that woman old. Said, my wife is well stricken in years, Lord. How's she going to have a baby? And they were blameless, the scriptures say. And God allowed them not to have a child for years. So I don't know about you. I'm going to go with Jesus. If Jesus said that this sickness wasn't because of sin, then you and I got to come to the conclusion that oftentimes sickness is for a different reason. Hardship is for a different reason. What is that reason? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Ever had some hardships? Ever thought about what have I done wrong? Now, I want to ask, you ever heard of get a phone call late at night and a friend has had a very real bad accident? What's the first thing go through your mind? Come on, come on. What? I wonder what they was doing wrong. Wonder what they've been doing lately. Question, what kind of God do you think that the disciples had when they asked this question? Did he sin or his parents? Now you got to participate, remember? What kind of God? Vengeful? Got a vengeful God. He'll not only get you for your sins, he'll get your offsprings for your sins. Is that the kind of God you serve? Oh, come on now. Vengeful God. What other kind of God? What's that? Speak up loud. You can be just as wrong being loud as you can quiet. And if you're right, we will applaud you. Okay, maybe next week, all right? I'm sorry. A very judgmental God. Vengeful, judgmental, jealous. He will not forget. Angry. He can be looked at as being angry. Just. Because he's going to deal with your sin one way or other. That's tough to put just in the middle of that wrath, isn't it? But it's true. I mean, they have to have a bad image of God to ask the question. And Jesus sees an opportunity. You see what he says? And look, and he says, it will be manifested to all the people. Is that what he said? What did he say? It's going to be manifested in the blind man. If no one else gets it, I want you to get it, blind man. See, what Jesus is saying is this, and if you don't understand God in this way, you're gonna miss a whole great deal of opportunities to praise him instead of whine and cry about it. So what he said is, I allowed this man to be born blind so he can be an instrument so God can manifest what God is like in him. In other words, the worthiness of being blind, the worthiness of being sick, because God finds you worthy to reveal in you him. Now, I'm going to tell you what's bad now. What goes on a lot of times is we'll look at this and we'll say how he reveals himself and manifests himself is by healing. Oh, God, heal me. Please heal me, Lord. You want to manifest yourself? Bless me with a bunch of money. Now, that's two ways God manifests himself in you when you're sick. What are they? One is he heals you. What's the other? He doesn't. You know, a lot of us don't like that second answer. Come on, be truthful with me. Well, God, I know you find me worthy, but it's been 11 years. Can you find someone else? I'll stand with him. I'll help them too. Just give me the other side of that worthiness. Come on, okay. Job goes down. God shows his worthiness in me because he brings my business back up and double it. Or he makes you go bankrupt. Allows you to go bankrupt. Either way, he wants to manifest who he is. He's found you worthy to manifest who he is in you. Doesn't matter if anyone else of you in here understand what I've gone through. But I better understand it. And I better have a countenance for you to see how good God is. What kind of God do you serve? Can't hear you. Now here's Jesus, stops in the middle of the crowd who wants to kill him, has a theological debate about a man's blindness right in front of him. And then he says something like verse 4 and 5. Now, I don't know about you, but would you hate to be a disciple sometime with Jesus? Is the man sin or not? Jesus said, neither. I must work the works of him that sent me. Why, it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Can you imagine the disciples looking at each other? First of all, they don't want nobody to know. They don't understand a thing he just said. can I get an amen? I mean, it's like, whoa, that's Greek right there, Jack. And I can just see you guys. Andrew looks over at Peter and goes, dude, what was that? You know, you're always asking Jesus a question, man. Come on, ask him. Peter's going, mm-mm. That's beyond me right there. This manifesting through this, because see, none of them believe that God is a God who would show himself through sickness. So how can they respond correct to what Jesus is saying? If you don't understand God, how can you respond correctly to what he's doing? And if you don't respond correctly to what he's doing, there's no blessing in it. See, the blessing is in it, not the change of it. Anybody can praise God when he gets you out of a situation. Anyone can praise God. Even the heathens do when things happen good to you. What about when it's falling apart? And Jesus throws some daylight stuff on you. What? What are you talking about, Jesus? This is my problem. Bump tonight. Heal me today. Can I have an amen? Jesus says, look, I'm in the light as long as I'm in the world. And I'm going to be the light to you, disciples. But the man who's truly in darkness is the blind man. You're not walking around blind. And you don't know me any more than he does. And you can't trust me any more than he does. What? The next verse says, and so after he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. Oh, that's nasty right there. Can I have an amen? Even coming from Jesus. And I don't know about you, but how much spit does he have to come up with to make enough mud to put in two eyes? Somebody talk to the pastor up here. The reason why the Bible don't mean anything to you because you don't really make it live. Here's this blind man sitting there and going, "I man, I wish I could see. I show all y'all why I was born blind. Beat you with my cup." He's got an attitude. Having this theological debate about it right in front of him, and all of a sudden he hit the tour. Now Jesus didn't say, hold up now, I'm getting ready to put some mud in you. I did it. Did he? Only thing he heard was, and I don't know if maybe multiplied the mud. He can do that. He can multiply your mud. Can I have an amen? And here's my boy just sitting there. No speaking's going on. Just somebody's working. And what's even worse, guys, is Jesus is making this spittle on the Sabbath. The disciples probably going, ooh, he can't do that. I'm the light. Light can do anything it wants, anytime it wants. And no man, he's probably sitting there like this. What? Ah! They have a theological debate, and then they're going to throw mud in my eye. It's only one thing worth throwing mud in a blind man's eye, and that's putting a firecracker on the old veteran's bed. Can I have an amen? You talking about some serious action going on in that bedroom. I'm sorry. But you got to admit, man, that would be a scene. We could have put that on YouTube. We had some viewers on that one, boy. Then Jesus, as he put the mud in his eye, check him out. He said to the blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, did the blind man know he's going to come seeing if he washed? I can't hear you. Question. He's a beggar. If he leaves his post, he's going to miss out on getting money. Do you think the blind man would have went to the pool and washed just because Jesus said, go and wash? He wanted to get the irritation out of his eye. He may not be able to see. He can feel. Can't hear you. Now, hold on. Let's back up a little bit. Do you think he would have went if Jesus wouldn't have put the mud in his eye? And he's got a decision to make. Keep standing there with mud in his eye that's hurting. I'll go wash like this man said. So you mean to tell me Jesus putting mud in his eye got the man in a position to be obedient to what he asked him to do? So I got to ask you a question. What God do you serve? Do you believe that he can put mud in your eye to get you to be obedient? And the question sometimes is, how much mud does he have to put in our eyes to get us to be obedient? Man, we're running out of time. Should we just quit right now? Come on now, you know. We got five. I got more than five. Don't be trying to take my time, bro. You just want to get out of here, but you don't want no people to know it. He goes to the pool. Washes. Wow. This is amazing to me. How much God has to do to you and I as Christians in order for us to obey him when he asks. Because he wants to manifest himself through us to those who watch us. But he can't get us to be obedient unless he puts the mud in our eye. And we get to verse 8, and the neighbors therefore, and they who before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat it and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, nah, it looks like it. He said, it's me. Now, what's going on? What's going on with this man? Why is everyone noticing this man? Oh, this man is he is raising some havoc, isn't he? Now, I want to ask you a question. Where do you find your neighbors? I live in Bellevue. Is my neighbors in Seattle? No. Your neighbors is always next to where you live. This guy's left the pool, and he is celebrating on the way home. He done got in the neighborhood, and he's causing a ruckus. This man was born blind. He hadn't seen ever. He don't even know what a woman looks like. Do you think the first time he saw a woman, he was calm? That's how she looked. You know that man is going, yeah! Yeah. Whoa! Right. Girl, I heard your voice a lot of time, but whoa! Yeah. God, you, oh, yes, sir! Well, that wall he ran into 5 or 6 times. Oh, that you're a beautiful wall. You're a pretty wall. Yeah. I remember hitting you several times. Ooh, it's a wall. I can see the wall. Yeah. This man is making a ruckus in the neighborhood. Ooh, you're the one that used to pick on me when I was a boy. I can see you now. He's never seen before. You think he's quiet? And you know as well as I do, the neighbors responded just like you and I. Amen? Now, we've been here for years. If that was a guy sitting out on the corner every Sunday we came here, and he's a beggar, and he's blind, and he's asking with his little tin cup. Now, some of y'all would be real spiritual and wouldn't give a man no money and put a four spiritual laws in his cup when he's blind. Braille. Braille this. We'll pass by him every Sunday. And one Sunday we come, and he's up, and he's dancing, he's running around out there. First thing we say is, whoa, that looks like him. But that guy was blind. And some other you go, what? No, I don't think that's him at all. And then he goes, yes, it is. It's me. And then you Christians, you real Christians, you walk up and say, can you believe he's been lying to us all this time? Can I get an amen? I want to ask you a question. What kind of God does a neighbor serve? What kind of God does a neighbor serve? There's no way in the world this man has been healed. As far as the neighbor's concerned. Oh, see, I mean, I know something's happened. But what? They do not know the God. Oh, don't let me get my head of self. Let's read this. Some said, this is he. Others said, it looks like him. He said, oh, no, it's me. Therefore said they, so he is on the way where? Home. Now, the first thing should go through his mind is, I've been forgiven. If he believes that he's blind because he's sinned, coming from the pool, the first thing should be, I'm forgiven. And if mom and dad did something, they need to know we are forgiven. He never makes it home. They stop him. And the neighbors got the audacity to take him not home, but to the spiritual leaders of the day. Look at this. Therefore said they unto him, how was your eyes open? First aspect of seeing Jesus right. He said, a man who is called Jesus made clay. Now, I want to ask you guys a question. Did he tell them what the clay was made out of? Kept that personal, didn't he? Ain't no need of nobody knowing. Guy spit on the ground, made some mud. He made some clay. That's all you're going to get. And anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed. What did he do? Obeyed. Fully. And since he went and obeyed fully, he came seeing. What kind of God do you have? Do you have a God that tells you to trust him in all things? You can obey, and when you obey, then you can see. But most of us live with a God who we want to see first before we obey. I'll take care of all your needs. Well, that's a great promise, God. Put some in the bank. What God do you serve? Now, I came back and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought him to the Pharisees that formerly was blind. And it was the Sabbath day. Uh-oh. When Jesus made the clay leave the spit out and open his eyes. What kind of God does the neighbors serve? What kind of God do they believe exists? Come on. Limited? How is he limited? By the day. He's a six-day God. You better not get sick on the seventh day. Can I have an amen? God comes back in 7 days. Hold on, 24 hours. Hold on. I'll be back. How many of you? You wouldn't dare say you believe that. But you will agree God is not on your time. But then my grandma and mom used to say all the time, he is never on time, but he's never late. These folks said, man, you better not get sick, man, on the Sabbath. Jesus made some clay on the Sabbath. Check this out. This cracked me up. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees asked him how he had received the sight. He said, until he put clay on my eyes, I washed, I do see. Simple, right? Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he does not keep the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. What kind of God does the Pharisee serve? What kind of image do you think that their God is? Does he work outside the religious system? Does he work outside the Methodist? Baptist? Does he work outside the independent churches of God and Christ? The Bible churches. I mean, if you want to do something, man, you got to do it this way, because this is how God does it. If you're going to pray, you better pray in this position. What system have you put yourself into? What chains and bondage have you put yourself into? God died for you to be free, and you continue to put yourself back in bondage. Does your God put you in bondage? I'm telling you something, folks. I want you to go home. I want you to think, what God do you serve? And if you got a false image of him, your response is always wrong. What he's trying to do in your life will never line up with what he's trying to teach and manifest through you. And when you tell the truth, that God will stand with you. He'll let it get rough sometimes, real rough. Because what? He wants to manifest himself in you. What a privilege. What an honor for God to trust us that much. Well, I guess my prayer is that each one of you do a complete, unadulterated check upon your God. Find out how you're serving and find out what he wants to do to manifest himself in you. Father, thank you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.